The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, June 20th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're coming to you live from Margarita Studios here in Scottsdale, Arizona. But this is our last show from Scottsdale. I'll be heading out tomorrow to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Richmond, California, the Bay Area Cannabis Cup. We're actually going to be there. Didn't think we would, but the way things have worked out with the effing normal tour, it doesn't look like that's going to start until mid-July now. So I'm going to make my way out to the Bay Area, kind of doing it live, too. We got the tickets from High Times. I got those available. I just printed them out this morning. Got myself a flight from Phoenix to the Oakland airport. And then for the Oakland airport, got a place to stay in San Francisco. And the only thing I have left to fill out now is rides while I'm in town and some volunteers at the booth. So if you would like to go to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Richmond, California this weekend, absolutely free with an almost all access vendor pass, hit me up. Send me a message in Facebook, Radical Russ on Facebook, and we will arrange to meet. I do need help at the booth. I do need people to stay there while and guard the stuff while I'm wandering around and help me haul stuff in and out and get me rides back and forth from San Francisco to Richmond. If you can help out in any way, let me know through Facebook, Radical Russ on Facebook, and I'll get you a VIP vendor pass. Now, coming up on today's show, and by the way, before I go on, that means there'll be no show tomorrow, no live show tomorrow, as I will be in the airport at that time flying around. So we will try to bring you some live coverage from the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. Audio, at least, will bring you what we can, depending on the internet connection. All right, for today's show, we got all sorts of interesting stuff for you. We played some videos from Cheryl Schumann yesterday. She's got a new one up that was on Headline News, the CNN Headline News, with Dr. Drew. So we're going to show that in our Behind the Headline segment today. For our Daily Toker Tunes, I got some music here from Mark Spitz. Mark Spitz, he's out of Dallas. He appeared at the DFW Normal Conference. We'll play some of his tune called The Smoking Gun. Also got Sean McAllister from the Normal Legal Committee calling in. We're going to talk about attacking the 5-nanogram DUI and the state toxicology lab in Colorado. And we'll wind up with a radical rant on medical marijuana absurdities in Michigan. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Thursday, June 20th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. U.S. House approves amendment to allow hemp cultivation for research from the Normal blog. This morning, the United States House of Representatives approved an amendment to H.R. 1947, the Federal Agriculture Reform and Risk Management Act of 2013, also known as the Farm Bill, that will allow for the cultivation of hemp for academic research at universities and colleges. This would only apply to states that have already passed legislation allowing for industrial hemp production. The amendment, sponsored by Representatives Polis, Blumenauer, and Tom Massey of Kentucky, was approved by a 225-200 vote, with over 60 Republicans supporting it. The House and Senate must now conference to reconcile differences between the two versions of the bill. Please take a moment of your time to call your senators and urge them to support this important amendment and keep it in the final version of the legislation. Senate and Assembly panel approve bill helping minors use medical marijuana program in New Jersey. From NewJersey.com. The Senate and Assembly Budget Committee today voted separately to approve a bill that would make it easier for children to participate in New Jersey's medicinal marijuana program. The bill, A4241, would require parents to obtain only one doctor's recommendation, rather than the three the law and state rules require, in order for a minor to participate in the program. The bill also would allow dispensaries to grow more than three strains of marijuana and to sell it in edible form, conditions state rules forbid. The committee voted 9-1 this morning with two abstentions to approve the bill. It now heads to the full assembly. This afternoon, the Senate voted 25-13 to approve a similar bill, S-2842. New study, cannabis smoking not associated with increased lung cancer risk or other serious pulmonary complications, from the Normal blog. A forthcoming review to be published in the journal Annals of the American Thoracic Society reiterates that the ingestion of cannabis smoke poses nominal pulmonary risks compared to those associated with tobacco smoke. The author of the paper, Donald P. Tashkin, M.D., Emeritus Professor of Medicine and Medical Director of the Pulmonary Function Laboratory at the David Geffen School of Medicine at the University of California, Los Angeles, performed U.S. government-sponsored studies of marijuana and lung function for over 30 years. A preview of Dr. Tashkin's forthcoming review appears on the American Thoracic Society News website. It reads, quote, Dr. Tashkin found that regular smoking of marijuana by itself causes visible and microscopic injury to the large airways that is consistently associated with an increased likelihood of symptoms of chronic bronchitis that subside after cessation of use. He also found that the evidence does not indicate that habitual use of marijuana leads to significant abnormalities in lung function when assessed either cross-sectionally or longitudinally, except for possible increases in lung volumes and modest increases in airway resistance of unclear clinical significance. The author finds no clear link between marijuana use and the development of COPD or lower respiratory tract infections. In addition, findings from a limited number of well-designed epidemiological studies do not suggest an increased risk for the development of either lung or upper airway cancer from light or moderate use, although evidence is mixed concerning possible carcinogenic risks from heavy long-term use, Dr. Tashkin notes. In summary, the accumulated weight of evidence implies far lower risks for pulmonary complications of even heavy, regular use of marijuana compared to the grave pulmonary consequences of tobacco. Weed eats the man, marijuana lobbyists best White House in annual softball game. A bearded band of marijuana lobbyists defeated the White House's unofficial softball team for the second year in a row on Wednesday, dealing the powers that be yet another loss in the 40-year war on drugs. Reflexes undulled, the one-hitters beat STOTUS, the softball team of the United States, 5-2. It was not quite the wipeout of last year's 25-3 victory, but the pro-drug reform crowd savored yet another win after November's twin referendums for marijuana legalization in Colorado and Washington. Marijuana-fed pork becoming highly successful from KSN.com. It's a different kind of head shop found just down the stairs from the Pike Place Market. It's the BB Ranch selling something that's even better than bacon. It's marijuana-fed pork. The pig farmer has been feeding them marijuana for the last 2.5 months of their life, and they've been happy as hell, said William Von Schneidau, owner of the butcher shop. The pigs are raised in a farm about an hour outside of Seattle. In fact, these pigs are on a rock star diet. The mix contains drugs and alcohol, the booze coming by way of spent grains from Woodinville's Project V Vodka. The pot pigs grow to be extra fat and really happy, according to the farmer, who wants to be anonymous. Steve Freeman at Celtic Cowboy Barbecue in Edmonds says the results are stunning. That's some pretty happy pork right there. He's done a good job with that. I really like that, he said. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, June 20th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we bring you video from Headline News with Cheryl Schumann, the Martha Stewart of marijuana, speaking to Dr. Drew. We'll be right back. Listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Welcome back, everybody. We are working on getting this video up for you. I'll give you this link. It's off of my RadicalRuss.com website, and I'll paste this in every place that I need to paste it. And we hope Brian can get that up for you on this. I was pretty amazed to see the video. It's off of Headline News, one of their health segments, and it features mostly Cheryl talking to the Headline News people and a little bit with Dr. Drew, who they bring in for some commentary. Dr. Drew's commentary is quite interesting, as a matter of fact, as he's talking to Cheryl. He actually admits to there needing to be changes in the way that we deal with the medicinal use of marijuana. So we'll get that video up for you here shortly.
Even throws marijuana-themed dinners. Cheryl Schumann says that she was near death, and marijuana helped her survive the pain of ovarian cancer. So she turned her love for pot into a booming million-dollar business. She's joining me live out of Los Angeles. All right, Cheryl, you are called the Martha Stewart of marijuana. How the heck did that come about?
Well, in 2006, I was diagnosed with cancer after working in the corporate world and film and entertainment for 25 years. And, you know, when you get cancer, and I think that's something that everyone across the country can relate to. Everyone's been touched by cancer at some point in their life. So I looked to cannabis, medical cannabis, as an alternative treatment. I was literally in hospice care. The doctors had given up on me, had asked me to basically tie up my loose ends and get ready to die. So a friend of mine from high school started visiting me in the hospital and said, if you're going to die, you're at least going to die with a smile on your face. And that's when I started learning about cannabis, not only for chemo and radiation, but also juicing cannabis, eating it, because I have a liver disorder as well. The cancer metastasized to my liver. And it took me, cannabis therapy took me from being bedridden and in hospice care on 27 pharmaceuticals and an intravenous morphine pump to within 90 days being able to go back to work full time, shower by myself, eat by myself, and have a substantially better quality of life. So when that happened, I really wanted my children to be proud of me and my family to be proud of me, and I decided to come out of the closet and be what I hope is a good role model and example for corporate women and professional women
okay.
to use cannabis as a modern cannabis consumer.
Okay, all right, so hold that thought. Okay, because I hear your story, I see the pictures, and I think, oh my God, you know, I mean, praise the higher gods there that you survived and you made it. But now let's just take a look at the business that you have. And I know it's making you millions of dollars. I'm reading through. You're developing this reality show. You sell vaporizers. You've got medicated chocolates, branded ashtrays, as you see by all her props here. Cannabis cooking oils. You're even working on a cooking cannabis DVD. Okay, I know there's people out there. All right, yeah, looking at this stuff going, Cheryl, you are just a glorified stoner making a lot of money. Okay, what do you say to those people?
Well, you know something, I really kind of have to smile and laugh at that because I grew up in Appalachia in the Bible Belt, and I'm one of those goody-two-shoes girls that I've never smoked a cigarette, I've never done cocaine or any kind of drugs, and cancer changed my life. So that's one of the reasons it was really important for me to come out and educate. You know, to this day, I'm very proud to say that I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't use drugs of any kind other than cannabis.
So,
and works for me.
You've got two daughters, right? One's joined with you in the business. Do they smoke marijuana?
Yes, I have two absolutely gorgeous, successful, well-balanced grown daughters, and one of them is in psychology school right now and is a business partner of mine. We work together. She's the executive vice president of my company, and my other daughter, and here's the thing, both of them are great, amazing young women, but neither one of them use cannabis themselves personally. They're shining examples of, I think, amazing young women in society.
Do you worry about maybe being around all of this and seeing how much money it makes that, you know, they'd be tempted to use it in the wrong way?
No, I really don't, because to me, it's all about being honest with our children. You know, my children are grown, so it's a little bit different. But I really believe that cannabis today, it's something that we need to educate people about. The cannabis that I use, for example, is completely non-psychoactive. It doesn't get you high. It's specifically for anti-tumor growth and for digestion issues that I have. So absolutely not. I don't worry about my children at all. They're amazingly balanced, charming, successful young women, and I'm extremely proud of them.
Now we're talking to Cheryl Schuman there. As you can imagine, Cheryl, all kinds of people wanted to know more about your Beverly Hills Cannabis Club. But you said something interesting, and Dr. Drew, this is where I want to bring you in, is that I had no idea that you were able to get marijuana that doesn't give you a high. I always thought pot was pot.
Is that for Cheryl?
No, it's for you, Doc.
there are cannabis receptors throughout our body, and they're slightly different. So you can isolate gut cannabis receptors versus the various receptors in the central nervous system. But here's the deal about Cheryl's story. It's a great example of how irrational our drug policies are. Here is a medication, a substance that helped this woman, stimulated her appetite, treated her pain. Fantastic. Doctors should be able to use these things as they please. Why is that intervention somehow inferior to morphine sulfate? It's bizarre how we think about these drugs. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have concerns about it, but it's time for us to be much more rational about this medication.
So you started this Beverly Hills Club, Cheryl. It's an invite only. What happens at these events?
Well, we have a gardening collective, so we have a farm up north, and that's open to any members of the collective. We have about 100 full members and about 1,000 internet members, so they can come and work in the garden. We all split the gardening costs, and then we do mansion and cannabis tasting parties for our members. So everyone is screened. It's a very intimate group. Most of the people who are involved in my group are celebrities, producers, high-profile individuals that can't really go to a storefront dispensary because of, you know, TMZ and the Inquirer and that sort of thing. So we value their privacy, and we treat them really well, and we take good care of them, and it's a really wonderful, amazing group of people.
And you actually consult Hollywood. If they're talking about the use of medical marijuana, you go to the set and tell them how to do it properly, right?
Yes. One of the things you'll see in a lot of TV and film projects right now is everyone's talking about cannabis. And I'm very proud of my work on the show Wilfred with Elijah Wood and Jason Gann. It's about a pot-smoking dog. And Elijah, of course, is a legal medical marijuana patient. And this is my third season on the show. So a lot of TV shows and film companies, they hire me as their marijuana expert for $500 an hour. And I go in and make sure that everything is authentic with real products, with real cannabis, and with the real vaporizers and chocolates and stuff that we put in those shows. So what you're going to see coming up is product placement for marijuana, and no one's ever done product placement for marijuana in film before, and that's one of the things that my company does.
Okay.
We also work with over 1,700 dispensaries all across the country, providing them with stash jars.
Are you a dispensary? That's my question. Where are the physicians doing the evaluation saying that this person needs a prescription for marijuana that you then dispense?
All of our members of the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club, they all have their own individual MDs. We do not have our own MDs that are on staff with us, but we have a gardening model where literally we all get together at the garden and we work the garden together. There's no storefronts whatsoever.
Tell you what, times
have
changed.
However,
in 2013.
That being said, One of the things that you'll see is with the chefs that I'm working with right now, for example, Chef David Chenals, he's the executive chef of La Dolce Vita here in Beverly Hills. And what I'm looking into, I've got an investor that's interested in investing $10 million to do these private dining clubs and vaping lounges for the Beverly Hills Cannabis Club in recreational cannabis is legal.
This is where Colorado and Washington. Colorado and Washington are really an interesting case example. I'm worried we're going to have big cannabis just the way we have big tobacco. The tobacco companies are going to get in, those kinds of companies are going to get into cannabis, and we're going to have big cannabis marketing all over the place. And that's one of the grave concerns about what could happen in Colorado and Washington.
Well, it's fascinating. We're going to follow it. I mean, Cheryl's marijuana is here already. Yeah, and you have cashed in on it for sure.
It sounds like it's all organic, too.
Yes, it's healthy. Cheryl, appreciate it. Pretty interesting conversation today, for sure.
All right, that's our friend Cheryl with Beverly Hills Cannabis Club, doing some great marketing for the marijuana movement. Love what's going on, getting this high media exposure. But right now, we're a little bit late. It's past 20 after, so we got to catch up. I hope you'll join us.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
We're going back to San Francisco. That's right, everyone. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is returning to the Bay on June 22nd and 23rd. Come to the Craneway Pavilion in Richmond, California for a High Times celebration of the best weed in the world. Meet the top cannabis businesses of the Golden State. Hear experts discuss indoor and outdoor growing. Find out about cannabis cuisine. Learn about the exciting new world of concentrates. Enjoy a massive medication area reserved for California medical marijuana patients only. And don't forget our swinging Saturday night concert when the stars come out. But as everybody knows, it's all about the cannabis. On Sunday night, we present the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup Awards for Best Sativa, Best Indica, Best Hybrid, Best Concentrate, Best Edibles, and more. Plus, we honor a living legend of the modern cannabis movement, San Francisco's own Dennis Perrone. That's June 22nd and 23rd at the Craneway Pavilion in Richmond, California. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
What's happening, cool cats? This is Big Daddy, and I want you to cruise on over to the Funky Roller Rink. We'll be grooving all night long. Doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, every Thursday night, right here on RadicalRust.com.
Funky. Delicious.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together. So let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody, we're giving Bago Schwago the day off because I still have some more music to clear from my trips that I've been taking. Of course, I've been to Aspen and Denver and Dallas-Fort Worth and now Scottsdale, Tempe. And while I was in Dallas-Fort Worth, there was an artist who performed at one of the gigs. His name was Mark Spitz, S-P-I-T-S. Now, older listeners, you'll remember Mark Spitz, S-P-I-T-Z, who prior to Michael Phelps was the greatest swimmer of all time and won 7 gold medals at I forget which Olympics. Was it Montreal? I can't remember. But anyway, he won. And this cover, and those of you watching on the webcam, is basically the Mark Spitz photo with the 7 gold medals. And then Mark Spitz, the rapper, just photoshopped his head on it. I think it's cute as hell. The name of the album is Fat Gold Chains, which takes me back to the day. And we're going to play a track off of Fat Gold Chains here. It's called The Smoking Gun. It features Guilty Simpson. I love that name, too. This is Mark Spitz from Fat Gold Chains. Dig it.
What up, Mark Spitz? Man's dropping tight, what up? Fat Gold Chains, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Yeah. Dallas, Fort Worth to Detroit. Planet of the rats. Damage to your cats. Still standing. Ran the gamut on your traps. Damn your ass. Who cares about the facts? Hysteria, terrorist plan attacks. The man tax purchases and wages. The NASDAQ rate and New York stock exchanges. In a bad way, shit, we need some changes. For some back pay, now the Iraq war's ancient. Blackwater scandals, Wall Street greed. The man's back in vandals and all the cheats need. Gambling's a disease, so why you doing it with your life? While you're off scheming, another man screwed with your... I'm not poking fun, I'm just talking one. You can see the trail leading to the smoking gun. Red-handed like a deer caught in the headlights. Hook them, lock them up after you read them their rights. Slam the door shut, that's solitary. Get fucked in your... What? That's kinda scary. Make you wish you didn't act like an asshole. How ironic, now your life's a fiasco. A whole string of bad decisions and mistakes. Listen, Winnie, y'all gonna learn for shit's sake. Sounding like my pop when I write the top rhyme. Then I spit it, got no time for thinking shots. Unless we're talking about the killer. Not a gorilla, pimp, criminal, or killer. Nah, I'm just a law-abiding, upstanding citizen. I don't do drugs, my doctor prescribes me the medicine.
How are you looking for that? We've got our hashes on the front page. We also have high grades on the back page. 44 for any. Anything else for you?
That's it.
Yeah, G.S. Phantom of the Opera. Music getting popular. Motherfuckers noticing. Hood rats stopping us. Trying to chop it up, but I'm on the schedule. I don't do regs, I do medicals. I'm incredible. Yeah, I had to say it. We made it. And radio didn't have to play it. They paying no traveling. Busier than ever. Came a long way from the semis and the leathers. Yeah, we used to Jimmy and Berettas. Joyride cars used to get us through the weather. Winter nights, that's the material for shit I write. Why you rep shit that you never did in life? What you acting for? Fuck around and have my young dog crack his jaw. We don't fight, we riot. So I advise you and your crew to shut up and be quiet. Quiet.
What the fuck? Conspiracy theorists believe is the smoking gun.
Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof. The smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud. The liberty we prize is not America's gift to the world.
My bad.
It is God's gift to humanity. Every nation and every region has a decision to make.
I've been reviewing the history of armed rebellion.
And it appears that terrorism is an effective way to promote political change.
Yes, it can be. But I have never subscribed to the theory that political power flows from the barrel of a gun.
Yet there are numerous examples when it was successful. The independence of the Mexican state from Spain, the Irish unification of 2024, and the Kenzie Rebellion.
Yes, I'm aware of them.
Then would it be accurate to say that terrorism is acceptable when all options for peaceful settlement have been foreclosed?
These are questions that mankind has been struggling with throughout history. Your confusion is only human.
I've been given a script to talk to you about drugs, rock and roll, having fun, a good time, and all that good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, drugs is not a part of my everyday routine. It's not everyday fun. It's not good for you. All right? So listen, think twice before you do drugs, because there ain't no winners out there doing it.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
In the marijuana law reform movement, the cannabis community is represented by thousands of dedicated defense attorneys fighting to end prohibition and keep us free. The Russ Belville Show visits with the tireless courtroom crusaders in our legalization, law, and order.
Welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour, and we're dialing out now to Sean McAllister.
Call is not available.
And he's not available, so we'll hang up and we'll try this again, but... We're trying to get Sean McAllister on the line. He's with the Normal Legal Committee out of Denver, Colorado, and he's working currently on fighting against the 5-nanogram permissible inference DUID law that just recently got passed in Colorado. He's also got some stuff to tell us about their state toxicology lab. Apparently, there's been some shenanigans going on there that we need to uncover, so we will get the latest on that from Sean. Right. Hello, Sean. This is Russ from the Russ Belville Show.
Russ.
Yes.
Hey.
Glad to hear you,
yes, sir.
Just calling you up here for our interview. I'm glad we got you on the line.
Glad to be here. What an honor.
All right. So I was just kind of telling the audience a little bit about what's going on with respect to Colorado's 5-nanogram permissible inference DUID. And I understand that you're trying to challenge that law. I'm wondering what you can tell us about the fight so far.
Well, since it's 10 minutes after 4:20, I'm not sure I'm thinking clearly, but let's see if I can put this into words. Basically what's going on out here has been a 3 or 4 year fight to stop the voodoo science of the marijuana haters who want to imprison every regular pot user who drives a vehicle. And this goes all the way back to 2010 or 11 when the idea was first introduced, and I was a part of a state commission that looked at this, and we had 8 participants in that state commission, and we deadlocked 4-4 and said there's not enough science to justify a 5-nanogram limit. And so that year, the legislature failed to adopt it, and basically the story ever since has been law enforcement and biased scientists have been pressing as hard as they can, refusing to give up. I mean, we've called this law the zombie bill that just will not die and keeps coming back until they get what they want, which is to infect us all with their bad science. So, you know, the bottom line is the scandal that's going on right now is the legislature just passed not a per se absolute you're guilty if you're over 5 nanograms, but basically an inference that you're impaired if you're over 5 nanograms. It's basically like shifting the burden of proof. In America, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. But under this law, if you're over 5, you're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. So you know, the haters said, oh, this isn't so bad. People can still prove their innocence. But, you know, obviously it's going to be very difficult for them to do that in court unless they have a lot of money and can hire experts. And so, you know, another thing about this law is it's legal apartheid. We're going to have rich people get justice and poor people go to jail. And that's a sick result. But the point here is that the scandal is the state toxicologist, the person that advocated for this 5-nanogram standard, was pushing for it, was at all the hearings. It turns out the health department that runs the state lab did an internal investigation and determined that she's biased, that she is somebody that was cooking the books, that was interpreting science in a way that was intended to convict people. I mean, the investigation revealed that this state lab director who's charged with coming into court and telling juries whether somebody's impaired or not, that she was going back to the office laughing about putting people in jail and making fun of criminal defense attorneys. And I mean, this is a woman I had on the stand many, many times who would say these ridiculous things like, if you smoke marijuana 24 hours later, you're still impaired. And I'm thinking, man, that must have been a big joint.
Is there any professional malfeasance being alleged here that could possibly overturn previous cases she was a part of?
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's what I was trying to say is the scandal is that this report was done in mid-March and right at the same time the legislature is investigating this 5-nanogram standard, and the attorney general and the health department refused to release the report. In fact, in one of my cases, they went to court and I found out about the report. I tried to subpoena it. They go to court and say, oh, we can't turn this over. It's confidential personnel file. And what the outrage on the ground here is that right at the time the legislature is debating this, there's a report saying the main proponent of this law is cooking the science and they don't release the report. Imagine that. And what happened was we get the passage of this pretty terrible law. So there's all sorts of investigations going on right now of the conduct of the district attorney's offices around the state, the attorney general's office, the health department. I mean, this is a fundamental constitutional right that if you're charged with a crime, you have the right to know about, well, you know, in criminal cases in court, you have the right to know about evidence that might get you acquitted. Sure. And they pretty clearly hid this and covered up this information as long as they could. So that's one thing, all these criminal defendants, there's hundreds of people that got convicted or took plea bargains of DUIs between the report being done in March and it being released a few weeks ago. I think it was released the end of May. So a couple months of time where people didn't have access to this. And, you know, if they would have come to me, I would have told them, look, you know, if you go to trial, this biased state toxicologist is going to come in and say you're impaired. And yeah, we know she's biased, but juries believe her. And that, you know, even my advice or people without a lawyer probably look at that and said, okay, forget it. Let's take a deal. So, you know, there is an investigation ongoing. It is a big scandal. And, you know, what I was saying earlier about her saying things like, oh, you're impaired 24 hours later. It wasn't just that. It was that we would ask her on the stand, okay, Ms. Burbach, Cindy Burbach is her name. By the way, she was demoted and then subsequently, quote unquote, retired. It's just so convenient that really she was basically pushed out. So that at least is a good thing. But you know, we would go have her on the stand and say, Ms. Burbach, you know, what's your opinion? Couldn't a chronic user be at 5 nanograms or more at all times? And she would just totally deny, oh, no, that's not possible. Couldn't happen. She would just deny the ambiguity of the science on regular chronic users. And I mean, that's another scandal that, I mean, that's the example of how her bias played out on the stand, that she would, you know, exaggerate the effects of marijuana, say that, I mean, this is a woman that would say things like, well, inactive marijuana, it can make you sleepy and tired, so you're still impaired, again, 24 hours later. And I mean, just, no other scientist in the world, I guess, except for the most politicized scientist, would agree with her. And that's the point, is that she would pick up these small tidbits from politicized science and say, oh, yeah, you're definitely impaired. I mean, she would say you're impaired at 1 or 2 and refuse to acknowledge the long-term user thing. So definitely a big deal. There's all sorts of investigations going on now. And on behalf of Normal, I'm pursuing an open records request to try to get all the evidence of what role this woman had in setting the standard. And we are trying to go to legislators. In fact, I'm going tonight to speak with some to ask them to reconsider the standard based on the scandal. And we're hoping that they will. I mean, the standard is going to guarantee that innocent people will be convicted. That's the only thing I know about it. Everything else is uncertain.
Now, as far as her, you know, her misconduct on the stand and all these cases, that I can see where there's a legal avenue to get some people's pleas and cases overturned on that. Do we have a legal leg here to get the law itself overturned, or is this more appealing to the conscience of the legislators?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there are going to be some people that try to undo their convictions. We are going to appeal to the conscience of the legislators. As far as directly overturning the law, I guess the problem with that is unless your law is sort of race-based or, you know, protected class-based, that all the government has to do is just show there's any kind of rational basis for this thing. Mm-hmm. And again, what I think the point of this debate is that the science is unclear. There's some people that would say, oh, yeah, you're definitely impaired at 5 nanograms. There's others that would disagree. And so I think the likelihood of a direct challenge to the law taking it down is not let me say it this way, on the basis of some sort of irrationality is not likely, but the way this will get litigated is the other test in criminal cases or any court case. If you want to introduce scientific evidence, you do have to show it's sufficiently reliable. It's called the Daubert test. There's a couple other names for it depending on where you live, but the bottom line is that yes, that's another way that we could litigate this through criminal cases and have a court rule that the science is not clear and therefore the standard can't be applied and it couldn't be admitted in court that you're impaired at that level. So no one's gone that far yet, and I'm hoping somebody will. But again, that takes a deep-pocketed, rich defendant who's willing to spend 15 or 20 grand or more money to hire experts and probably go – you know, they might even spend 50 grand to go through all of the appeals processes. And there's not many defendants out there that want to be the chariot that carries everybody with them. So, you know, I don't know. That may be several years off to actually get that kind of a ruling, but it is possible.
Now, Sean, you said this was kind of the zombie bill that will not die. And I'd heard reports that prior to its passage, prosecutors are getting like 90% conviction rates on DUIs. So what is feeding this zombie? What makes it so politically powerful that it got through?
Well, obviously, it's the legalization of marijuana and the legalization of medical marijuana in Colorado. You know, the phenomenon in the late 2000s were that people were getting pulled over with a new sense for the first time in their life of entitlement to marijuana. No longer were they criminals and bad people. They had a red card. They had a medical marijuana card. And cops would say, hey, I smell marijuana. And these drivers would say, sure you do, because I'm a medical marijuana patient. And here it is. And I just, there's so many stories of cops saying, you know, this guy just stuck it in my face. And imagine being a drug warrior for 40 years, a cop that is not used to dealing with legal drugs like marijuana and having it stuck in your face. I mean, their reaction was, all right, punk, out of the car and up against the wall. I mean, there's no doubt about it that was part of it. And also, you know, as you said, the conviction rate is so high, but there were individual instances of, you know, great defense attorneys like myself, Sean McAllister, McAllisterLawOffice.com, that would go to court, and shameless plug, and would, you know, argue that this isn't clear and there's no clear standard. And so there was a combination of it being legal, of DAs basically just not wanting to have to fight this issue and preferring to have an easy standard, and then some baseless claims. Against once medical marijuana became prominent, they started collecting more data on THC in the blood, and these baseless claims over the last few years that, oh, marijuana in the system has increased by 100 times since medical marijuana was legalized. And again, the point here is that sort of before the medical marijuana boom, people weren't regularly testing for, is there THC in the blood or urine? And these results, they were exaggerating. The point is that there wasn't a systematic way of collecting that data. And so sometimes it would be a coroner who sampled the urine. We know that urine results can just show use in the last 30 days. There's no indication that there's any systematic, no one could tell us those increase in THC in the blood. Was that active THC? Was it inactive? Metabolized, whatever. And so, you know, those statistics I felt were dishonest and they weren't fact-based and they were just, you know, this hodgepodge of statistics. But that was the fear tactic. And sort of the reactionary institutional response is, oh, God, marijuana is legal, so we have to do something about driving, even though for all other Schedule One drugs, cocaine, heroin, all prescription drugs, Adderall, OxyContin, those drugs, there is no standard for any other drug.
Yeah.
And there doesn't have to be because the law just basically says if you drive impaired, you're guilty. And as you said, they were getting all these convictions anyway. So I always say it was sort of a, you know, DA's want to be lazy and get off on Friday at 2 kind of bill because they just didn't want to do the work to look at the science and have to have an honest dialogue about it. They wanted an easier way of getting convictions. I can't imagine it could get any easier, but this law has made it easier to convict people. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Going back to the woman who's in charge of the toxicology lab, one of our lawyers in the live chat room had a couple questions. Wanted to know, number one, was she testifying for other lab cases outside of cannabis DUI? And number two, how soon before she starts work with the recreational regulatory agency?
the regulatory agency. Well, you know, Ms. Burbach is a 30-year state employee. And the story is that she let the game get to her because, you know, it's true that defense attorneys would hammer her on the stand and what's your real qualifications. And she said she was a toxicologist, but she had a chemistry degree and she just allowed that to get to her to where it really did become an us versus them thing for her. Mm-hmm. You know, as the investigation showed that she was celebrating victories and celebrating convictions. I mean, an independent scientist wouldn't celebrate a conviction. They wouldn't care. They would just be there to tell the facts. But, yeah, she did testify in many contexts outside of DUI marijuana. And, you know, I can give you other examples, the ways in which her interpretation, it wasn't so much that the lab results, the nanogram level or the BAC level was doctored. I mean, there have been scandals at that lab in the past. And there's indications of poor training and poor security on the samples, so all sorts of problems. But it was more that the interpretation was biased. And, you know, another example of that is I had a case where it was cocaine in the blood. Again, inactive cocaine, which can be in the blood for 48 hours or longer. And you know, her explanation was, oh, yeah, cocaine. You use cocaine. 8 days later, 8 days later, you are still impaired. Eight
wow.
days. I'm like, wow, that's a big line. That must have been a big caterpillar, whatever they call it. So, you know, that's an example of how she would just say these things more like the inactive cannabis that, oh, yes, inactive cocaine makes you sleepy and irritable. You know, as if there was a difference between that and you were up late cramming for an exam and just tired. That is that the new standard that we're impaired now for cramming for a test because we're tired? So, you know, she would just say these crazy things. But yeah, she testifies in all sorts of contexts. I don't expect to see her back anywhere else. This is not only did she get fired or have to resign, but the entire head of our health department just resigned.
Wow.
And we think it was in part because of this scandal. He certainly looked bad in the press on this thing when he went on TV and sort of laughed about it. Chris Urbina, Dr. Chris Urbina, the executive director of the entire health department for our state, 2 weeks after the scandal breaks, resigns. And actually, his resignation was related to the lab scandal, but also due to the poor regulation that many see of the medical marijuana rules and medical marijuana patient database. And so, you know, he had other problems, but I mean, I don't see Cindy Burbach's name has, you know, been pretty well discredited as a result of this.
Yeah. Well, Sean,
and, you know, obviously I have, you know,
oh, sorry, Sean, just have to wrap things up here. We're out of time for the segment, but I wanted to give you a chance to do the shameless plug one more time.
Yeah, definitely. Sean McAllister, DUI attorney extraordinaire, criminal defense attorney extraordinaire in Denver, Colorado. McAllisterLawOffice.com. McAllister.
All right, we'll be right back with Radical Rant. Thanks, Sean.
Into the Russ Bellville Show. The voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
All right, two stories popped up today from the state of Michigan that remind me of the inevitable tragic absurdities we get by trying to separate patients from criminals. With scare quotes, criminals. Wrap your mind around these latest examples of legal bureaucracy facing sick people who just want to use marijuana under the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. In Nashville, Michigan, there was this patient named Tony Allen Green. Tony had a valid patient registry card. Tony had less than 2.5 ounces of marijuana on him, as allowed by law. Tony had a friend named Al Thornton. Al was a patient who just applied for a valid patient registry card. However, under Michigan law, after 20 days, his application, along with his doctor's recommendation to use cannabis medically, becomes just as valid as a registry card. Tony, a legal patient, gave some of his marijuana, less than 2.5 ounces, to Al, a legal patient. Somehow, police became involved. They don't arrest Al, because he's just holding less than 2.5 ounces of marijuana, but they do arrest Tony for giving Al less than 2.5 ounces of marijuana. Now, isn't that silly? Tony can sit around puffing joint after joint of his 2.5 ounces. Al could sit right next to him and do the same thing. But if either of them pass a joint to the other, it's a crime? The Barry County Circuit Judge who saw this case agreed that it was silly. Section 4 of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act clearly allows patients to have 2.5 ounces. They were both legal patients. So the judge dismissed the marijuana delivery charge against Tony. Prosecutors, however, appealed the dismissal. As they read Section 4, they could only find protection for Tony's and Al's possession of marijuana. They didn't see anything protecting the delivery of marijuana. The Court of Appeals, however, upheld the Barry County judge's dismissal, writing, quote, The Michigan Medical Marijuana Act does not place any restrictions on the transfer or delivery of marijuana between adult patients, and we decline to read any such restriction into the act, end quote. Unfortunately for Tony, the Supreme Court of Michigan disagreed. They have now reinstated the delivery charges against Tony. The court is relying on its February decision in the case of Michigan v. McQueen, where they held, quote, immunity does not extend to a registered qualifying patient who transfers marijuana to another registered qualifying patient for the transferee's use because the transferor is not engaging in conduct related to marijuana for the purpose of relieving the transferor's own condition or symptoms, end quote. You got that? Tony can puff joints all day from his 2.5 ounces because that benefits him medically. But giving marijuana to Al does not benefit Tony medically, so that transfers a crime. Although Al can then go ahead and puff the joints that Tony gave him because that benefits him medically and isn't a crime. Then there's the case of Benjamin Curtis Wahlberg. 4 years ago, police caught him growing 25 marijuana plants, so they say. He disputes that. Ben didn't have his medical marijuana card, so he was charged with possession and manufacture of marijuana, a felony that could put Ben behind bars for 7 years. Ben argued that he suffers from severe anxiety and insomnia, and he had a recommendation from his doctor for medical cannabis use. Michigan had just passed the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act a few months prior to Ben's arrest. That was enough for the Ottawa County Circuit Judge, Edward Post, to dismiss the charges against Ben. Prosecutors appealed that dismissal, arguing that despite Ben's recommendation, 25 plants was more than twice the 12-plant limit written into the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act. The Court of Appeals disagreed with the prosecutor that only 12 plants are allowed under the act. The court noted Section 8 of the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, which provides an affirmative defense for a patient who is, quote, collectively in possession of a quantity of marijuana that was not more than was reasonably necessary to ensure the uninterrupted availability of marijuana for the purpose of treating or alleviating the patient's serious or debilitating medical condition, end quote. As the court noted, unfortunately, the legislature neglected to define the term reasonably necessary within the statute, leaving it open to interpretation based on the individual circumstances of each case. So, the Court of Appeals upheld the Ottawa judge? No. The court sent the case back to Ottawa County so the court could give their interpretation based on the individual facts of the case. Meanwhile, the Michigan Supreme Court has ruled on the cases of People v. Kolenek and People v. King, which clarified that a person must have their medical marijuana registry card or doctor's authorization before they possess or grow marijuana and must display their card or recommendation at the grow site to qualify for any medical defense. Therefore, Ben could still face the felony manufacture charge in Ottawa County. Thankfully, the Ottawa County prosecutor decided to cut Ben some slack since the law was so unclear just months after passage. He allowed Ben to plead guilty to misdemeanor possession with no jail or probation. So, yes, Ben has to check the have you ever been convicted of a drug-related crime on any employment application, and his shot at some government jobs and security clearances is gone, but at least he's not in prison. These are just two patients whose lives were turned upside down for the past 4 years while Michigan courts tried to make sense of their program to separate patients from criminals. Two patients who ended up being criminals anyway. Wouldn't it just be easier to legalize marijuana for all adult uses and stop trying to determine who's healthy enough or who didn't follow the rules properly in order to put them in a cage over pot? That story is available up on my blog at RadicalRust.com. I've also forwarded it to Huffington Post's Detroit section. We'll see if it makes that. That's all the time we got here for Hour 1. Stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio here in Hour 2. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. Also be hanging out in the chat room with Brian the Red, who's holding down the fort there in Portland, Oregon. Remember, no new show tomorrow. I'll be in the air flying to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. Also, no show on Monday. I'll be on a train coming back home. But next week, all new shows from Portland, Oregon, with me and Brian the Red and all the crew. Thanks for joining us. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it.